It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. We're live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. A lot to talk about today. And not only that, our guest is going to be Ayrton Jeniton, a third-generation driver that finished in the top 10 last night with the World of Outlaws at Eldora last night. He ran the Dash as well. We'll be talking to Ayrton here in just a little bit on the show. So welcome, 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 everyone. So much to talk about. Where do you start? Austin, do we start with Gravel winning the Joker's Wild last night at Eldora? Is that what we start with? Should we start with that?
Yeah, it's hot topic right now. Well, not hot topic, but it's most recent event.
I don't know if it's the hottest topic or not. I think the Kyle Larson, Brad Sweet thing is the hottest topic going in sprint car racing right now. But let's talk a little bit about that race last night. David Gravel beat Carson Macedo and Brian Brown. Brian Brown had a really nice run last night, ran second for most of that race, but Macedo got around him there towards the end of that race. What did you think of the surface last night? They had a little rough spot up there in turn one, didn't they?
Yeah, you can't fix that when you get, you know, a pop-up rain shower 30 minutes before engine, he gets pushed off. But I mean, for them to have that shower come through and really soak that place down to recover to, I feel like it was a pretty racy track. You know, the feature was good for Eldora, and hopefully they can, steer clear of some showers tonight. Hopefully nothing pops up, and hopefully we get a good track surface. I think, you know, you'll see, if nothing happens tonight, I mean, you'll see the old Eldora here, you know, for the rest of the weekend.
Right. Are they calling for rain today in Eldora? I don't know. I haven't looked at the weather forecast over there or not.
They weren't calling it for it yesterday, and it was just a small cell that popped up, you know, probably 10 miles from the track that just got them.
I know you've got a pretty good relationship with Brian Brown. I know you buy your cars from him as well and some equipment from him. But did you feel like that Brown was going to have enough for David Gravel last night?
No, I
didn't either.
Nobody. Macedo had a shot. But his shot, he couldn't take advantage of it. But no, in the race, you know, with Eldora being that fast, with the rain and the track being that good, it was guy who won the race or the winner of the race would have come from the first two rows, or the guy that would have won the race out of turn two, and it was David Gravel. And look where he's at after it last night, he won the race. So at that point, it's just who can get the clean air the fastest and first, and you'll be set up for the rest of the race. And you know, Macedo had a shot at one of those restarts, and it's just he just couldn't fire off. Gravel could fire off really well, and that's what he needed. You know, Macedo's stuff was fast at the midpoint of the race, and I think it just might have kind of faded with, you know, probably five or so to go, and those yellows just he couldn't take advantage of them.
Brown had one good restart where it looked like he might have a chance to take the lead. Maybe it was one of the very last restarts. Did you see that? When it looked like he had a pretty good chance there to maybe go down there and try a slider, but he couldn't get in there far enough and wasn't able to pull off the slide job, which we know Brown is not afraid of doing, right?
No, and you know, his one thing I've taken away from Brian is he's like, dude, you just got to be really aggressive on restarts. That's how you got to win these things.
That's how he makes his hay.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you have to race when you race with the Outlaws. And he just, I mean, he was carrying good car speed, but he couldn't carry the momentum he needed into the corner to do a slide job. You know, his momentum would stall, like, right as he would make his entry. And he couldn't get anything wound up for a slider. And, it's, you know, like I said, when you got the clean air, maybe you got spread out, you know, a handful of car lengths, you just, with it being that fast last night, nobody was going to run out of anybody.
You know who I was more impressed with than anybody last night, to be honest with you? Out of all the cars that I watched race last night, Ayrton Jeniton was one of them because he finished in the top 10. But I was more impressed with Casey Kuhn last night. Has he found some speed in that car or what? Or is he just Do you feel like maybe he's getting more confident as he drives these cars more and more? What do you think, Austin?
I mean, I think they're probably finding some speed, and I think it's just more confidence than anything else. He's just getting comfortable with it. And it's just, you know, some nights you just need a track like Eldora was, you know, right, where it's kind of heavy, and it hands you a good night. You know, it gives you confidence that you can drive it. You know, yes, the track might have been really easy to run last night, but
right,
sometimes that's what you need to have the confidence to come back the next night on a technical track and be just as good. But yeah, I mean, they found something, and it was working for Casey, and you know, I don't know that he had anything to win it. But I mean, you can never say never if he starts two or three more rows closer to the front.
He was a little more in Brian Brown's category, wasn't he? Speed-wise.
He kind of started, you know, mid-packish. I mean, he wasn't too far back, but once he got up to, you know, Brown and the guys in the top three, you know, his stuff just kind of stalled out, and that's where he was going to run the rest of the race.
Yeah, no doubt. Were you impressed with what Ayrton did last night? I was. I thought that he had a hell of a night. He ran the dash. He didn't finish well in the dash. I think he finished last in the dash, which is not a big deal because that was a steady group of cars, right? I mean, there's a lot of fast cars in that dash. But he ended up getting a top 10 finish. Now, you said that he's had a top 10 finish with the World of Outlaws before. Are you sure of that?
Yes. Now that I remember, I kind of thought about it. He finished on the podium at, I mean, it was the podium or top five at Devil's Bowl in 2021, where he led, you know, 23 of, right, of 30 laps and was almost en route to his first Outlaw win. But yeah, he's had a handful of top 10 finishes with the Outlaws. We'll ask him here in a little bit which races those were. But yeah, I mean, that was probably his third or fourth trip to Eldora.
Yeah.
And he had a really good showing there last year with the All-Stars. I think he ran third or second. And even had speed to win the race back then. So to come there with the Outlaws and one of your earlier starts at the track was a really good night for him, I felt like.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I felt that exceptional night for him. Now, tonight they've got a weird formula, don't they? Can you explain it to me and make sense of it for me?
I'll do my best.
I mean, because to be honest with you, I think that – I'll let you say exactly what they're going to do tonight, and then I'll have my statement afterwards. Go ahead and tell them the format for tonight, if you can just read it for people. Can you do that?
Yeah, that's fine. All so right. it's pretty much the same format you saw at the like Eldora Billion,
right,
or the Dream or the World with the late models. So they'll have one flight of qualifying. So after qualifying, quick time. Will spin the wheel of misfortune to determine the heat race inversion. So he'll either draw 0, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. So that invert will line up the heat races. We'll have 6 heat races going 10 laps. The fastest non-transfer cars will start 19th and 20th. So uh-huh. The cars that don't make it out of the heat racing. And the way the heat racing finishes lock you in the feature goes like this. So first through third, lock straight into the feature. Fourth through sixth to the last chance showdown. 7th through 9th, C main, and 10th on back is the D main.
Yep.
So the feature will line up like this. Winner of Heat 1 on the pole, winner of Heat 5 front row out. Heat 4 winner and Heat 3 winner line up the second row. Heat 2 and Heat 1 line up the third row.
I'm already spun out.
Well,
to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's
you know, my peanut brain can't take
it's
too much.
It's a lot to take in, but when you can look at it on an image, it's not that bad, but it's pretty much the same format we see with the late models. You know, you just want to be in the 6th heat race, win the 6th heat race, and you're on the pole, the 40 lap, 100,000 win, historical big one.
Right, right. And tonight it pays $100,000. Tomorrow night it pays $10,000 again, right? And then on Saturday night, $175,000 to win.
Yeah, so Gravel could walk out of there with over $300,000 if he wins right. All 4 nights.
Yeah. Did you watch pretty much the entire race last night?
Yeah, I got to watch the entire feature.
Oh, did you? Pete, he checked in. He said, what about All-Star Flow Racing announcer Blake Anderson announcing with World of Outlaws announcer Johnny Gibson last night. They've done that in the past. We've seen them do that before. I think they work good together, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Johnny and Blake are probably one of my two favorite announcers, and
they are my favorite.
And yeah, to get them to work together was really cool. I mean, I haven't heard them do that in a long time, and it just kind of brings a new flavor to the racing. It just kind of, you know, switches some things up and just kind of gives everybody a fresh, you know, breath of air and have fun for the night.
Their style is completely different, though.
Completely different.
Yeah, yeah. I think Johnny's a little more scripted, wouldn't you say? A little more to the, I don't mean this in a bad way, but he's a little more, he uses his standard set of calls that he uses at just about every race, right? And I think Blake mixes it up just a little bit more, don't you think?
Yeah, I can agree with that. But, you know, Johnny's done it for 20-plus years, and he knows what works. And he's
that's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, he's perfected it down to a craft and an art. So, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with – I mean, all I care about is a good call. You know, don't miss any of the good action, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Tammy says, Pete, somehow I could never see James Essick and Rick Eshelman announcing a race together. Different in dirt late model world. Each series barely acknowledges each other. Well, that's true. Very good. Very good point there, Tammy. Yeah. Last night, Bobby Pierce beats Devin Moran last night. What did you think about that race? We watched it a little bit earlier. It was kind of funny because Bobby Pierce was just running around back there about fourth or fifth, right? Then all of a sudden, man, he turned on the afterburners, and he just went past, I think it was Peyton Freeman, Billy Moyer, Devin Moran, and just got the lead. And once he got in the lead, it was all over at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a typical, night on the Bobby Pierce Hell Tour race series. I mean, it's just, might as well just start naming it after him. But, no, you won the race on the last, you don't win the race on the first lap, right?
Right.
You win on the last one, and right, his stuff fired off at the end of the race, and he was able to be in a good position at the first part of the race where he was, you know, in the top five, and those yellows kind of fell his way. I mean, it kind of let him get kind of bunched back up with the front runners and let his stuff, you know, finally come to life. And
right,
and when it came to life, I mean, he was right there with the top four, and he was able to get up there and get by Devin and take the lead, and he pretty much just
he
got up and walked away with it. And yeah, I mean, to get your car to fire off and be good in the first part but be even better at the last half of the race is a driver's dream. And I mean, they got something figured out.
You know, Donnie Schatz has always been that way, right? His car was always good at the end of the races. Right?
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing with Bobby Pierce. That was his 46th Hell Tour victory. Can you imagine that? 46?
I feel like that series has been going on for like a month and a half now. I think they're like 19 or 20.
They're over 20. Right?
They're over 20 now. Yeah,
over 20.
I mean,
yeah.
That's a lot of racing. I don't know how they can do it.
I don't know. That's a grind. And to be honest with you, those races don't pay that well either. What are they, about 6,000 to win or something like that?
Yeah, and they're
in
the middle of nowhere, too. So, I mean, you know, it's Illinois, Indiana area, and you're just driving through the woods to the sticks to go to the next racetrack every night.
Where was Bobby Pierce the night before? Where did he run the night before?
He was in Stewart.
Stewart. So he pulls all the way to this track last night, picks up the win in Indiana. Did we ever figure out how many hours he had to pull for that? Do you know? Can you do that real quick? Austin, he's quick on the keyboard, man. He is so good at what he does. I can't tell you how lucky I feel to get Austin. How many miles was that?
551 miles,
oh my
9
gosh.
Hours.
9 hours they had to pull overnight. And that wasn't the car that he has been running. Right?
No, that might have been the backup car.
It might have been the backup car.
I mean, if you're going to drive 10 hours overnight to the next track, you better have another car sitting there ready to go, because there's no way you're going to get the car you raced the night before washed and maintenance and turned around in enough time to run a second night. I'm not sure what the late models have to do every night to get the car turned around for the next night, but I know for for my sprint car, I don't know if I would have been able to make it or not.
Yeah. How about old T-Mez last night picking up the win? What did you think of that race? Did you watch any of it? No?
No, I missed the midget race. I was focused on the wing sprint car racing, but from what I saw, you know, but T-Mez kind of put an end to, but well, I would say Buddy's on a hot streak. I mean, he was a while ago, but
yeah.
he got to dethrone Buddy here. Finally got to beat him. You know, they had a run in, I think it was Tri-State a while ago.
Yeah.
Both RMS cars and Buddy kind of got into it, and they've kind of had a battle ever since between, you know, Keith Koontz and the RMS team, and they don't really like each other that much. But yeah, it's always good to see him.
It was funny last night. He kind of gave Buddy a compliment last night.
I don't know if T-Mez gives anybody compliments.
Well, if you go back and you listen to his interview, he kind of did. He said, oh, Buddy did a good job. But then he just kind of dropped that discussion, right, and didn't continue to talk about it. So, but Ryan Timms ended up running third. Cannon McIntosh was fourth.
Third from 16th.
Yeah, how about that? Is he the next big deal, you think? Do you think Ryan, out of all the young kids, Austin, because you're tuned in with all the young kids, who do you think is the next big deal coming up through the ranks? Is it Buddy Kofoid?
I mean,
has to be.
Who would you call young kids? Could you think of, because Buddy and I are the same age. Now, if you're saying young kids,
you're 18, right?
I'm 19. We're both 19. Oh, he might be
19,
20.
Right? Right.
But I mean, if you're gonna say young kids, I'm gonna say you're probably talking about people younger than me. Now, if you're gonna go younger than me, I'm gonna say
you're still young, Austin.
I'm gonna say Ryan Timms. If you're gonna go under my age, and if you're gonna go around my age, I'm gonna say Buddy. That's who I think would be if you call them young kids.
So you think those are the two of the rising stars in open wheel racing? Ryan Timms, Buddy Kofoid. Would you say those two are the top?
Yeah, I mean, you just gotta look at what Timms has done with his wing car this year. You know, he's gone to Pennsylvania, ran well. He's won a ton of 410 races, and Buddy's, you know, been on top of the midget game for the past year and a half now.
Yeah.
And now he's into the Toyota program, making truck starts and starts with pavement late bottles and NASCAR. So, I mean, yeah, I think he's closer to the top than Timms is. Timms still has a long way to go, but,
right,
you know, I think you'll see them there at some point.
Ethan says he absolutely gave him a compliment last night. And Tammy says, I've become a huge fan of Ryan Timms. Expect great things from him in the 410 the next few years. I would have to agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. Then I forgot one, too, would be Corey Day out of California. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
oh yeah,
he almost won two or three outlaw races this year.
Right, right.
You know, Bakersfield, Paris.
He's going to run up at US 36 on Friday night, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. So yeah. They're starting their Midwest trek to come run, because I seen he's in there for the Nationals. So
he's at Eldora, though.
Who?
I think he was at Eldora last night.
Corey Day?
Yeah, I thought he was.
No, I mean, there's, well,
I don't know. Hold on. Let me go back here and take a look real quick. All right. Can you fill for a second, Austin? Can you do that?
I can try to.
Go ahead. Just do what old Scott does for a second. Just Corey Day. I think he was in one of these heat races.
Oh, I'll find it before you do it.
All right. Yeah. Because you're quicker at that kind of stuff than I am. So I'll fill and you look. How about that?
That's how it should be.
That's how it should be. All right. Anyway, So T-Mez picks up the win last night. A Solomon Valley Raceway, right? Is that what that's called?
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody else getting tired of watching T-Mez win? I like T-Mez. Even though we've reached out to him 1,000 times and he refuses to get back with us and to be on the show. I don't know why. I drank tequila with T-Mez one night.
He was not at Eldora.
He was not?
No. I don't know who you were thinking about. But
I don't know who I was thinking about either. Hey, you know, I get cross-threaded once in a while, right? That happens.
Oh, we know.
Yeah. Hey, but that's all right. wait till you're my age, bud. Just wait. Wait till you are in your 60s, and I'm going to get back. Hopefully, I'm still alive. I won't be alive when you get to your 60s.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, no. But just remember this conversation that we had when you're in your 60s. All right? Just don't forget it.
All right.
All right. So, hey, let's talk a little bit about the Kyle Larson, Brad Sweet starting that new series. What'd you think about it? Hey, you've had some time to dissect it a little bit. What do you think about all this?
About time we got some, a decent paying sprint car series around here.
Right.
You know, we're kind of in the shadow of late model racing. You know, late models have, ton of money being thrown at their series right now. I mean,
hold on a second, Austin, before you go any further with this conversation. It's $23,000 to win for 10 races, 2 races for $50,000. Does that really get it close to late model racing money?
No, not yet, but
it does.
We're getting, last year we didn't have a series, next year we have it.
Right.
So there's more money in it, right?
All right.
So I think maybe a couple years on the road we'll have maybe
they'll up the
money. Maybe all 10 of them will be $50,000 to win.
Right.
And we have $200,000 or whatever. But at some, you can't start, at the top. You got to work your way up.
Right.
So, like I said, I we've been kind of in the shadow of late model racing here recently, and it's time that sprint car racing gets the money it deserves. And I'm glad that Flow Racing is going to help out with Larson and Sweet and get us a 12 race midweek series.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's a matter of time before we see this, and who better to promote it than Sweet and Larson? They're doing a pretty good job at Chico right now with Colby Copeland as well. So yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be just like what you see with Flow Night in America with the late models. I think it's going to be, I wouldn't be surprised to maybe see, the Flow Night in America late models and the high limit sprint cars at the same track at one night.
Do you think that, I'm going to say it, I hate to say it because, I'm a 360 guy. I've always loved 360 racing, right? Do you think this is going to really make people think over the winter, I need a 410?
Yes.
I do too.
I mean, when you look at 360s and 410s, where do you see the money going? Where is the money being added to?
Right.
The 410 racing.
Mm-hmm.
The 360s have paid the same for the past 10 years.
Right.
Maybe we get some events that pay good, some standalone events, but...
Well, when I first started with the Lucas Oil ASES National Tour, the races paid $6,000 to win.
Yeah. Now they pay $3,000 and $4,000 now.
Right.
Tomorrow night pays $4,000 to win, $4,000 to restart. I mean, that's not bad.
That's not too bad.
When you look at, you look at the Power I race, the Power I 410 series, I think it pays $5,000 to win.
Right.
And $500 to sort of start. And then the Outlaws pay $1,000 to start, $10,000 to win on their baseline shows. So.
Right.
And there's just more racing out there, and there's more money in it,
Yeah. Roddy brings up a good point. He's thinking Flo wants to start a new series like Dirt Vision. What do you think? You think that's coming? You think Flo is going to start a new sprint car series eventually?
I mean, they already have.
I mean, it's 12 race series.
Still a
but
series.
But the one thing...
So point fund at the end of it.
The one thing that I heard in their press conference yesterday was that they don't want to compete against the World of Outlaws. Brad Sweet made it very clear that they do not want to compete against the World of Outlaws. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, because that's his bread and butter right there, right?
That's what pays him. That's how he makes his living. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't compete with the Outlaws at all. I mean, I think the idea of doing a midweek series is great because, I mean, we do have a handful of midweek shows with the Outlaws, but not a lot of them. So we can you can always work around the All-Stars and the Outlaws and try and have the biggest, field of sprint cars you can.
Yeah. All right, we better take a break. We are going to get on Ayrton Jeniton. He's going to join us here in just a moment. Today's show is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I want to thank their support for the last 12 years with Racing Boys. Man, they have been just great, great supporters of the Racing Boys. And long-term relationship that we've had with Lucas Oil Products, and they are the best And we're so fortunate to have them on board with our show this year and hopefully for years to come here on Mostly Motorsports. We're going to come back in a moment. Ayrton Jennington joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. And joining us now on the show is a driver that got a top 10 finish with the World of Outlaws at Eldora last night. Ayrton Jennington joins us now. Ayrton, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. Just getting ready to head back to the track now and get ready for night number two.
So, man, you got to be thrilled with that performance last night, don't you? I mean, you made it into the dash. I know the dash didn't work out the way you were hoping for. It looked like in that dash, though, that you, on that first start, you got a pretty good start there at the beginning. Did I see?
Yeah. Yeah, we were here last year for Four Crown, and, like, we made both dashes then, one with the Outlaws, one with the All-Stars, and then, you know, last night, like, I like there was a good opportunity to start first or fifth, and, you know, drawing the eighth always never fun, but
right.
We had a good chance to get through the dash. I got to seventh down the backstretch, and I was getting ready to make a move, and Gio moved up. I got tight in the cushion, lost on my ground, but, you know, if I would have made a little better decision on the start there, maybe could have moved up a row for the feature. I think we would have had a good shot at top five last night, but, you know, it's nothing to hang our heads on. Like, we kind of had a rough season, and, you know, I think, you know, coming here with, you know, 60 cars and being Kings Royal week and posting a top 10 with the Outlaws is a good way to boost our confidence.
Did you and Gio make contact at the start of the A main?
Yeah, we got into it, kind of got into him a little bit. I was trying to, Dietrich kind of got a little sideways, and I tried to turn down, and Tar took off a lot quicker than I thought.
Yeah.
I talked to him after the race, though. Like, he knew I didn't mean to do it. He was all cool. And no bad blood.
Yeah. Man, let me just tell you, you as a driver have excelled a lot in the last year. What do you think the reason is for you as a driver? It seems like the light bulb has really come on for you with the 410 sprint car. Can you explain that to me a little bit?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it starts kind of even before we started last season. You know, we had the opportunity with Kurt Fisher and Devin Fisher coming on board and bringing Fisher Body Shop and a lot of help from them has, you know, allowed us to race 410s full time. You know, without them, we kind of planned on just running a little bit of stuff here and there, and I was going to run for other people some, and then they approached us, and being able to run, you know, full time in a 410 thanks to them was what kind of let me get the laps. And then obviously once we were able to hire Chad, it allowed us to race more.
Right.
Chad's work, he's just so busy that we couldn't race the way we needed to or wanted to. And it's, you know, it's not his fault. Like, my dad did all he could with, you know, taking us as far as he did. Like, you know, he did a great job. And
yeah.
Obviously we were fast with my dad too. And, you know, and then once Chad came, it was like, you know, just everyone got really excited last year. And then we rolled good at the end of the season. And we kind of had just tough times to start, but, you know, it's like we've been turning it around. And, you know, like, it's a good thing the Fishers are, you know, sticking behind us and helping us out. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like my dad, he's done a lot for my career. And without him, you know, I wouldn't be here at all, you know. So,
yeah.
Got to thank him, obviously. So he's done a big part. And, you know, my crew guy, Steve Daniels, he works his butt off. And so does our friend Randy. So,
right.
We got a good group with my dad, Steve, Randy, and Chad. So.
Yeah. So what do you think Chad brings to the table, maybe more? And your dad, as you alluded to, he did a great job, right? But what do you think that Chad brings to the table that adds to your program a little bit?
Yeah, like, Chad's really knowledgeable with the shock stuff and the motor stuff, and then him having experience on the road is huge. So, like, you know, obviously my dad, with how busy he is, he can't focus full-time on
right.
his business plus a race team and try and do everything right. So for me, it was like last year before Chad came, it was really like I was trying to do everything by myself. And like, we were doing good, but we weren't traveling and racing a lot of different places like we are now with Chad. And, you know, I think the organization and the upkeep and just being able to, you know, have him who understands more about the motors and the fueling and shock stuff and setup stuff and being on the road helps a lot.
Yeah. You know, with your grandfather and your dad, they were accomplished racers. Do you ever feel any additional pressure by having the Genetin name?
No, not really. Like, it's more, it's just really cool to, you know, be able to say I got it than anything. I don't really ever feel any pressure from it, but it's actually kind of funny you mentioned that. Yesterday, we were in the infield, and someone came up to me and was like, man, I used to race with your grandfather. And like, it's always cool whenever you can, you know, be at places like this or anywhere else out on the road. And you got people that, you know, you never even seen or met before coming up to you talking about them. And, you know, it's kind of a unique thing that I cherish and I'm really grateful for.
It seems to me that you have your grandfather's gene. Does anybody ever come up and say that to you, that you know, you remind them of your grandfather a little bit? Do you ever have people say that to you?
Yeah. I usually, from the people who race with him, they always say I kind of remind them of him. So, especially on the driving side of things. So that's good to hear, because it makes me confident whenever they say that, knowing that I have that capability.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you want to do eventually? Do you want to run full time with the World of Outlaws? Do you want to run full time with the All-Stars? Do you have a plan in front of you? Do you have some vision down the road what you would like to do?
Yeah, I think the end goal would be the Outlaws, you know, whenever that happens. But right now it's like next season. Like, I think so much stuff is going to get in a jumble with this new series that, you know, I've heard rumors guys are leaving the All-Stars or guys are leaving the Outlaws. So you never know. Like, could be next season we may try and do something there if it works out right. But, you know, as long as, you know, we got good partners like the Fishers and Ozark Barge and Dock, Wet Steps, Tony Stewart, Tip and Gravel, Westside Automation, High Performance Lubricants, people like that sticking with us, like, we'll be able to race at a high level anywhere we go. And, you know, and hopefully if we ever get a little more help, then, you know, we could be on the Outlaw deal soon.
Yeah. You know, to me, it seems like in the late model world, there's so much money being thrown around right now. It appears to me that what Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet are doing is trying to build up sprint car racing so we can become equal to what we see in late model racing right now. There's so much money over there on the late model side of things. It's going to make it more tempting, isn't it? Don't you think it's going to make it more tempting for people to run just a true outlaw schedule?
Yeah, it will, especially with the restrictions that the Outlaws have on their guys.
Like, right.
Like, I think a lot of that will come down to, well, like, your Outlaw guys, yeah, they may not be full-time, but they'll still run, like, 80% of the races. They'll just, you know, like, in September, instead of going out to California, you'll see those guys go to, like, Tuscarora 50 and, you know, running some PA stuff instead of, you know, coming all the way out to California, then driving all the way back for a national open.
Right.
And, so, like, you'll get races like that where that'll, like, change up if those guys do decide to step off and whatnot. But I don't think, like, I don't really know what will happen. But it is good because, you know, it'll kind of let the drivers almost have more say-so in what they want to do. You know, like, the Outlaws will have to kind of maybe change what they're doing to satisfy drivers to keep them there all the time. So,
yeah,
you know, and then plus they do that, it gives everyone more freedom to go where they want to go and
yeah,
race as much as they can and try and maximize the money like the late model guys get.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that going on in the late model side of things right now. Last night that rain shower stepped in there a little bit before the races, and there was a little bit of a rough spot down there in 1 and 2. Did you find yourself trying to cheat it in a little bit to get around that hole up there?
No, like, actually, I kind of got a little greedy with it at the start of the feature and put the car in the fence, and I got up there, and I think I told Austin, I puckered up a little bit. I thought we were going to get a backup car down whenever I got up against the wall. So,
yeah.
we were running up top, in 3 and 4 the whole night in the feature, but 1 and 2 is almost like you could run slider line, bottom, diamond, top, like, it was all pretty equal in 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4, like, we were just building speed. But, you know, I feel like that last yellow with Dietrich kind of hurt me because I was just passing Sweet after we got by Danny on the restart. So hopefully, if that doesn't come out, we may have ran 9th or 8th. So,
yeah.
But, you know, it's crazy here. Like, obviously, like, anyone who's raced that Moberly and raced here, they'll say this place reminds them a lot of Moberly. It's close, right, you could get to Moberly. So,
yeah,
I like running the top there, and we like running the top here.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you know it, but I won the first pavement race down there at Moberly when they made it pavement back in 2000.
Really? That's pretty cool.
That was a long time ago. Time ago, bud.
I was maybe 1 year old at the time.
Right, right. Hey, you know, I was trying to think about how many top 10s you've had with the World of Outlaws. Can you tell me that off the top of your head?
I think last night was either our fourth or fifth top 10. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're getting close to getting up to speed with the guys that run up towards the front? Where do you feel like you're at in your program right now?
Yeah, like realistically, like I'd say, honestly, I think if I draw the one or even the five and maybe start first two or three rows in the feature, like I know one row ain't a lot, but if you just like really like if the start goes a little better for us and we do get, you know, to six or something on that first start, then, you know, I think we could have ran top five. Like, I feel like we had a really good car underneath of us. And, you know, I really like this place. So, I think here for sure we got the speed to run top five all night, every night here. So,
yeah,
it's just capitalizing on the opportunities and making the most out of them and me doing my job.
Do you feel that you excel more on the big tracks or the short tracks? What do you think you're better at?
I seem to be better on the bigger stuff, which really surprises me, you know, because, like, I grew up racing Lake Ozark and
right.
XX and never really ran a big track until 2019 at Knoxville. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the high speeds, the on-the-edge stuff. Like crazy was 2 years ago about this time we were out at Terre Haute when I was running fifth and wrecked with Kerry Madsen. So it's like, you know, I've always been better on the bigger tracks for some reason, and I think it's just because of the speeds, and it just kind of fits my style.
Yeah. You know, you get a little more time to think going down those long straightaways before you set yourself up for the next corner too, right?
Yeah, you get a little more time. There's a lot going on a straightaway, though. Like, you know, because sometimes on the straightaways, if you don't come off right, you're trying to control wheel spin and stuff like that. We're on a short track, you're just reacting a lot. So,
right.
I don't know. Both places, like, really, it's crazy. Like, I would say you spend the same amount of time on the straightaways at Lake Ozark as you would at Knoxville. The corners is mainly the difference, I feel like.
Right. Do you flat foot it around Eldora? Do you ever lift?
We were pretty flat footed last night in heat race and qualifying and hot laps, just because of the rain, how heavy the track was. But my feature time, like, you got to run a lot of brake and, you know, kind of roll out of gas a little bit. But you don't usually when you come to a place like this, like, you got to be in it pretty good, especially when it's juiced up.
Yeah.
But like last year when it was really slick here, we were, you know, we were out of the throttle a lot more.
Yeah. Well, man, we are really pulling for you here. You know, we always pull for our show me state guys. We were kind of pulling for Brown last night. I don't think he had quite the speed it was going to take to outrun David Gravel or Carson Macedo, but he was right up there in the mix of things, got a podium finish. We're going to be pulling for you tonight as well. Tonight there's a lot of money on the line, though, isn't there? $100,000 or no, $100,000 tonight, $10,000 tomorrow night, $175,000 on Saturday night. That's a lot of money hanging over your head right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy what they pay to win, and then like tonight's $4,000 to start, and then $5,000 to start Saturday. So, you know, it'd be, if you can just make the shows, you're gonna walk away with a good chunk of money. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can, you know, just make the shows. And then if we make all four shows this week, like, I would say that alone in itself will be a really good weekend. And, you know, we make all four shows, and then who knows what, you know, if you can run good in the feature, get a little extra money and, you know, obviously build on the more momentum for following weeks.
Austin, you got anything? You good? Austin, let me just tell you something about Austin. He has done a great job as a producer of this radio show. I don't know if you know that or not, but he's been doing a great job over here working for us.
Oh, he's always on his phone, I think. He's always sending me Snapchats and doing stuff there.
Oh, my gosh. He's got such fast thumbs when he's on his phone. I don't know how kids do that, to be honest with you. Yeah. So
yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right. Well, listen, and I was proud of him. He made the A main last week up there at Knoxville. He did pretty good. Yeah. So anyway, all right, we're gonna let you go. Good luck to you the rest of the weekend. We'll be pulling for you, Ayrton. Good luck to you, my friend.
All right. Thanks for having me on today, Scott.
All right, you bet. There you have it, Ayrton Jennington joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I want to remind everybody right now about the the track tribute to Ascot Park that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. They've got video, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia, cars from Ascot Park that are up there right now. And this exhibit is going to be going on through October 1st, so you have plenty of time to get up there and see it. And if you don't know, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week. So every day of the week, including Sunday, you can go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and check out the Ascot Park tribute that's going on again through October 1st. It is a great tribute, and while you're up there, you can buy a raffle ticket for the 2022 XXX chassis sprint car. It's a complete 410 sprint car, and they're having a raffle for that. And if you want to be a part of that raffle, and if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. And don't forget about the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette that they will be giving away during the Knoxville Nationals on Saturday. That will be August 13th. This Corvette is only one of 1,000 cars made like this. This is a real race car. This isn't just your standard Corvette. This is an IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. And they're going to be having a raffle for that car. Again, one of 1,000 of these cars were made. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online by buying a raffle ticket at Corvette, C8RContest.com. That's Corvette, C8RContest.com. If you'd like to register to win that 2022 IMSA GTLMA Championship Edition C8R Corvette up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And if you're up there and you run into Bob Baker, make sure you tell him the Racing Boys sent you up there, would you? We'll be right back with more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding mucus fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Mucus fuel treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with Austin O'Neill. My old buddy Kirk Elliott sitting over there monitoring the broadcast. I don't know what I'm going to do when old Kirk's gone. If you haven't heard, Kirk is going to retire at the end of the year. He's not going to be full-time with the Racing Boys anymore. He's going to start enjoying some time with his family, which I don't blame him a bit. But it's going to be a sad day when I don't look over there and I see Kirk Elliott. Will it be sad for you, Austin? Will it be sad when you don't look over there and see Kirk Elliott's mug? Just a little bit, maybe. Just a little sad. You haven't worked with him for 22 years like I have.
Yeah, I don't have the connection that you have for that long, but, I mean, it'll definitely be different. You know, I'm used to having, you know, us three, us four when Todd's here in here, and it'll be different when one of us is not here.
Right. Pete just he just chimed in and said, Sealings Grove Speedway officials have announced cancellation of the Tuesday, July 19th anniversary race. After consulting with teams, track officials have made the decision to cancel the midweek July 19th race, citing ongoing tire and part shortages, as well as fuel cost increase that are affecting participation. I hate hearing that.
Well, that's like, I went to I-80 last week and
no tires.
Walked up there and when I was up there in June, he probably had 25, 30 right rear tires sitting up there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably sold 20 of them. Walked up there and he unloaded all the tires and no right rears. He got about 15 left rears and that was it.
That was it. You got up there too late?
No, they just
didn't have any.
He was out.
Huh.
The last shipment he had was probably a couple weeks prior, and he just hasn't had any.
Yeah. Tammy says, darn, my husband and I were planning on going that night. Love the speed of Sealings Grove. Yeah, no doubt. So let's talk about this conversation just a little bit here, Austin. And we'll get into it a little bit maybe more tomorrow because it's Phone Friday tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Right. Do you think there's any real possibility that Flo is tinkering with the idea of starting a sprint car series? Do you think there's any real possibility that that's going on behind the scenes?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Flo has the time to run a big time series like
the World of Outlaws,
like the Outlaws or the All Stars. I mean, over 2,300 races they have to stream, you know, every year. I get right. They have different teams that go out and do events, but you know, they have Flow Night in America, and they have the High Limit Sprint Car Series now. And then those are both, you know, 12-race midweek series that, you know, race once, twice a month, or like what the late models are doing right now, where they take the whole summer off.
Right.
Because there's just so much racing going on.
Tommy says, because the World of Outlaws would crush them.
Yeah,
Do you think that's the case? Who would win that battle? Hold on a second. Just think about this for a second. Who has more money, Flo or Dirt Vision? Flo or Dirt Vision?
Well, yeah, when you say Dirt Vision, you probably should just say the World
Racing Outlaws.
The World Racing Group. I mean, right, it's they own Dirt Vision and the Outlaws and, you know, all the series that are involved with it. But I don't know. I don't know if it comes down to a money thing, but you know, I think the popularity of the Outlaws will continue no matter what happens to it.
Right.
Nobody's
going to bring down the Outlaws. Do you think?
No, I don't think they will.
I don't either. Tammy says Tony Stewart won't let that happen. Flo has it good with the All Stars. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, Flo Racing creates a series and it competes against. The All-Stars. I mean, that wouldn't be a good deal to have. I mean,
do you think there's any chance that that Flo has started any negotiations with Dirt Vision about purchasing them? Do you think that's happened? You think that door has been knocked on? And do you think people have brought it up, at least in initial conversations? Do you think that's happened?
I'm not sure if the door's been knocked on now because of what, you know, Flow Racing has been absorbing here in the past half year. I mean, they've brought in a lot of new material to the service, but I don't. In the future, there's possibility, but I don't know that.
Will they burn the bridge with Tony if they did that?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think you could see the Dirt Vision selling out to Flow Racing because it's.
I don't either.
With Dirt Vision's connection to the World Racing Group and the Outlaws, I think if everything else fails, Dirt Vision will just be solely a World of Outlaw provider, and that's it.
Yeah, Dave Tyson, he just chimed in. He said, "I don't know what is worse: having a lack of right rear tires or overpaying for right rear tires, which are lacking proper cure time and will likely delaminate quickly." Do you agree with that? What's worse, giving you some tires that haven't cured enough or the lack of tires?
They're both worse. I mean, I don't know.
I think those tires need to cure more.
They do.
Yeah.
But people are complaining about not having them. Mm-hmm. So what are they going to do? They're going to send them to your distributor. And at that point, you as a team owner, driver, crew guy, tire, doesn't matter. You need to make sure and do your part in maybe helping their cure time. Maybe you don't need them out. If you're in a situation where you don't have tires and you have to buy one that night and race it, fine. But if you're stocked up on it, just let them sit for a month. Let them sit outside in the sun. Let them bake. Let them harden on your time, and just be happy that you have them to use in the future.
Don't sell them too quickly.
Yeah, or just don't put them on until you have to.
Yeah. Lloyd says a monopoly in racing world would not be a good thing. I think he's talking about Flo probably right there. So Steve brings this topic up, and Steve, just so you know, we plan on going into this in detail tomorrow, all right? But Steve wants to know, what about the news that Kyle Larson might boycott the Chili Bowl this year because of what it pays? This is a topic for Friday, right? This is a phone Friday conversation that we've got to have. And we're gonna get into it tomorrow, right? I get it. People want to see the purse go up at the Chili Bowl. But the Chili Bowl, just to be fair, is not. Don't yell at me when I say this, all right? Don't scream at me when you hear me say this. The Chili Bowl isn't about the money. It's about the driller. And I get it that people think that it should pay more money. And we're going to get into this topic in depth tomorrow. But I'm just going to say it. If the purse is going to go up, corporate America needs to get involved. You know, this is the one thing that we don't see enough of. Corporate America getting involved in the Chili Bowl. You know, all those banners that you see around the racetrack, that's all MAV-TV. That's all MAV-T revenue, right? What we need is somebody, I'll say it, I'll be the first one to say it. What they need is somebody like Flo to come in, sign a 10-year agreement, and pay an exorbitant amount of money towards the winner and enough start money, increase the start money and what it pays to win. Flo should pay for this. Because they're going to make... I'm privileged to a little inside information when it comes to the Chili Bowl broadcast. They're going to make a lot of money off Chili Bowl. They can afford to do it. I promise you. I know this for a fact. As many years as we did the Chili Bowl, I know for a fact that they can afford to do it. Right? They're probably making more money than the Race Boys ever made from the Chili Bowl. Get somebody like Flo to step in, sign a 10-year commitment, let them pay the extra money, and then at the end of that 10-year deal, you try to find somebody else to replace them with. Or you sign a 20-year deal with Flo. I don't know. But somebody, listen, people think that Emmett makes a lot of money off of the Chili Bowl. He makes a pretty good amount of money. But the problem is, It's not enough to where, listen, Emmett has to take care of a lot of people in his family. And listen, if I was in a position to where if I was a guy that could afford to take care of my entire family, I'd absolutely do it. There's nothing better than being able to take care of your entire family. There's nothing better than that. Wouldn't that be the greatest thing if you could just take care of your entire family financially? Wouldn't that be something to do? But at the same time, Emmett doesn't get the concessions. There's probably over $1 million right there in the concession, right? It's not like, I think people think that Emmett's just making millions and millions of dollars off of the Chili Bowl. I don't think that's the case. So what he needs to do is get somebody in corporate America to get involved, spend the money to increase the purse, sign a long-term deal with whatever that corporate sponsor is, and let them pay that extra purse. And then at the end of that contract, try to find somebody else to do it again. I don't think it's fair to ask Emmett to take that out of his pocket, if you want to know the truth. So, I got an idea what Emmett makes over there on the Chili Bowl. And, you know, he's got to take care of his family first. And that's the most important thing, right? So we'll get into it more tomorrow. I know Austin's got some feelings, and I don't think his feelings are the same as mine, just so you know. So we'll get into it in depth tomorrow. And hopefully somebody will call in on the show and give us their opinion as well. All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. It was a good show. We had a lot of people listening today. So just so you know, tomorrow, Phone Friday, we'll have the phones opened up. You can call in, give your opinion on any subject you want. It doesn't matter if it's motorsports or not. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. That's tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow. Phone Friday right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding mucus fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Mucus fuel treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.